This is a technology icing presentation brought to you by Karan Bhandari, currently working as technical lead in Societe Generale and has served multiple banks through Infosys, ANZ, Bank of America, NAB, Westpac, Commonwealth. And in this episode, we are covering long-running jobs being triggered through REST API. Now, why do we need long-running jobs? Long-running jobs are typically needed for scenarios where the SQL query that you are executing exceeds maybe a couple of minutes, because if you try making a web API request, then the API times out within 1 to 3 minutes, depending on how the firewall or your web config or the settings of your Spring MVC project is set up. So when a REST call is made, you are expected to reply to the client within a certain duration. But what if your job is a lengthy one? Typically, most of them start writing bad jobs and don't expose this over API. But I think you must not limit your API to not be there and actually have some other architecture running elsewhere. You could modify your API a tad bit to include this long-running scenario. So what could some long-running scenarios be? As I had mentioned before, a lengthy SQL query where you are doing aggregates and measures of numerous dimensions with complex joins, or you could be running a DAX query on SSS cubes, or running something like cognitive capabilities to study images, matrices, to perform some computations on neural networks. Many a times the computation power you need is not enough to be done by one machine, and you cannot reply back within a minute or two, and typically something will stall your connection if you have a FI or a proxy. And if you don't have a proxy, then the gateway itself will time you out. You will get something like timed out, or your Chrome will say stalled if the API does not respond with a specific time. So how do you overcome such a thing? One scenario that you could implement is, suppose if you're making a .NET Core applications, as soon as you receive the web request, you make a unique GUID or any random identifier to, or like a request identifier, reply to the user stating that we have accepted your request, so reply back with 202, and before you reply with 202, also include a location header that says that in the future, if you want to find out whether the job is completed or not, you can give the location header with the URL of your REST API endpoint along with the request ID appended to its query. And when you reply with 202 with that location header, then you know the client knows in the future if it has to query, it will query the REST URI that is specified in the location. But what do you do in the API? Because API typically, when you get a request, you do something with the model, you make a call, you respond, you do a task await, or you perform the job inline, run a for loop, call an interface service, and then after you get the response, you put it into the OK and put it into the body and reply. But how do you tackle it in this case? Well, in this case, your body will be nothing, will be empty, and you instead create another so suppose if you are hosting your applications on IIS, IIS has got something called as IIS background thread. Nginx has its own equivalent, and you would start something called as a web job. So how do you do that? There is a library called as Fluent Scheduler, and Fluent Scheduler allows you to run the task after the request has been sent. So, but you would write the code in a func and pass it to the job manager, The job manager is provided by Fluent Scheduler, and that hooks into your hosting object of IIS if you're hosted within IIS. And since if you're in .NET Core application, you could be on Nginx, and it will leverage the hosting environment's background thread instead of the request thread. So because your request thread will end after 202, so even your IOC may not work because it may be bound to request scope, and a lot of your database entity framework database objects may also be disposed. So you may have to create a new database context object for your background jobs, and you just call something like job manager or add job, and you Fluent Scheduler is actually meant for running a job sometime later. But what you can do is you can pass a variable and say run now, and it will reply. So it will give you an opportunity to reply with so after you call the Fluent job, it immediately exits, and after it returns a response to the user, it starts the background job, and you could start the processing. And then once so you could have a database with a simple request ID and the job status, and when you reply to the user that yeah, the job has started and this is your request ID with the location header, the database could have a status against the request ID called started. And once the web job does its long running thing, you or the background scheduler, you could finish, and the UI will keep polling every 30 seconds or 60 seconds about the status of the job, and you could in populate the database. You could find the request ID and then update whenever it's completed, and whenever the UI requests the location header, that is the new URL, like background status request ID, then it will keep saying in progress, in progress, in progress, maybe with a 206 partial response. And eventually when the answer is ready, you could store it into some, so as soon as the job is done, you could either store it in another glob in a JSON, in the JSON stringified format in the same database, or you could have it in an S3 blob or S3 or a blob, and then whenever the UI request for the data, whether when it is done, it will along with the 200, it will send the body. So the scenario is the UI sends a request, the API starts. It just informs the job manager of Fluent Scheduler, it's a NuGet package, to start a job, and that whatever is the job is mentioned in a func and passed to the job manager, and it immediately returns to the UI with the 202 accepted, that it accepted your request with the location header. That location header will be received by the UI, and the UI will keep hitting the location header every 30-40 seconds to see if the job is done. Now, that is for one type of scenarios. Now, Microsoft has also published some do's and don'ts for background jobs, especially using Azure for doing its job. So imagine, so Azure has a lot of appliances available to you to make this scenario possible. If you go to the MSDN documents and search for best practices of background jobs, you'll get very good information on how you receive a request in the web front end. And the web front end will call the API. And what it could do is it could feed it into a queue. Azure storage offers queue, blob. So you can feed it into a queue, and you could along with the web role that you're running, which has the API in it, you could start a web worker instance. A worker is nothing but like a big while loop, which is a console application. And you don't need to mention a while loop, because if you're using an Azure queue, the worker can be triggered as soon as some object is available in the queue. So there is like a listener attached to the worker that listens to the queue. And I think I think if you don't want to tie yourself to Azure, you can use something like RabbitMQ, which actually uses AMQP messaging protocol. It works on Linux, IIS, all kinds of hosting providers as well as cloud providers. But yeah, with respect to Azure, the worker can listen to the queue and can start the long running job. And as I had mentioned, you can put statuses in the database. And of course, the web front end has already received the accepted. And then it can use the help of both the cache or maybe the database to store the results of the job. And as soon as the web front end request for the location, as soon as the job is finished, you could respond. If you don't want like a long running thing where the UI keeps polling, you could use something like WebSocket, the server can also talk to the UI as soon as it is completed. But not every browser has implemented WebSockets that well. You could use a more elegant solution like SignalR, which is nothing but an WebSockets on steroids. That if WebSocket exists, it will use it. If it does not exist, it will go back to polling. If that does not, so it has a set of protocols. It has like three backups that it could fall back to if something does not work. So SignalR is a very good publisher subscriber mechanism. And there is also something, so there in Azure practices architectural style, they have mentioned this WebQ worker scenario. So if you were to be using an AMQP implementation like RabbitMQ, you would have some exchanges, and an exchange is nothing but some queues which has some interested listeners in it, and that listener is something that performs the job as soon as a queue message is placed. And you can have a bunch of listeners, and they can be interested in a specific type of message or like a regex pattern of messages. Pluralsight has a very good course on RabbitMQ. If you want to be more Azure friendly, then you could use Azure Service Web App for your API. You could use Azure Queue as your web job. For caching, you can use Redis Cache, and for the database, you could use something like CosmoDB or Azure SQL Database. And you could use a storage block for doing the long running tasks. So the UI need not have to deal with the detection of timeout, because it's extremely tricky to detect whether mostly it will enter in some cases it enters into an error loop, but in certain cases it won't even enter into an error loop because the request is stalled somewhere in between. So I think you could go with multiple types of implementation in this. Microsoft has published an entire book on good practices using queues, workers, cache, database, web front end, worker role. Or you could do it by yourself within the API by using Fluent Scheduler. And there is something called as a scheduler within Azure that could also leverage this functionality. And you could also trigger funks, that is Azure Functions or AWS Lambda, based on certain things in the queue or certain subscriptions that you have set up. Like there is something called as a webhook, which you can define. A webhook is nothing but in GitHub, webhook is used to inform Jenkins to pick up a build as soon as you push some new code to Git, or when a Jenkins build succeeds or fails, it can inform GitHub and put a tick mark or X mark against the commit or the check-in. So webhook is also something that you could utilize if you want to use a serverless technology like AWS, Lambda, or Azure Functions. There are multiple implementation choices. I'll leave it to you, and hopefully the long-running processes should not deter you from implementing an API-first approach. And to recap once, you could use a Fluent scheduler without using a lot of architecturally complex elements. Or if you want to be more industry-ready, then you could leverage Kworker cache database to perform these long-running jobs, or with the help of Q, or with some webhooks, you could use the web jobs or Azure Functions or maybe AWS Lambda to perform those jobs. Of course, there is a limit within those func jobs also. For example, AWS Lambda or Azure Functions are free if you finish the job within 3 minutes. So if your long running job exceeds 3 minutes, then definitely Lambdas and Azure Functions are not the right choice. Maybe use a web job or just a simple console application that is listening to it, or another piece of code that you have written within the func of your NuGet Fluent Scheduler's job manager. So if you have any doubts, you could refer to MSDN documentation on best practices for background job, or the architectural styles for Web Kworker MSDN documentation. So get started, and hopefully nothing should impede or hamper the way the UI is communicated or the response that is sent to the user. Goodbye. This is me, Karan Bhandari. I could be found on Twitter at Kurtzace, Kurtzace, or LinkedIn, whose user is also Kurtzace. Or you can drop me a note at kurtzace@aol.com, Kurtzace@aol.com. This is me, Karan Bhandari, signing off. Goodbye.